Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go here on a Saturday, a gorgeous Saturday in the city. Look, I know the mission ain't the Presidio, Dan, but if we're talking about the city, you got to come slum with me one time. You got to come down to the other side of the city. Get out of the trees, get out of your forest, get out of your
Here's the thing about the mission. Escape within
the city.
So I grew up in the city. When I think of the mission, think about being sideways at 2 in the morning and going down to La Cumbre and getting a burrito. Like, that was the mission. You go down
and get the
best burrito in the Mission District, and it's always late night. Shout out La Cumbre. Now that it's sort of gentrified and got all you pretty boys running around that place. Is it 17th Street or 16th now?
I'm on 24th.
Is it 16th?
No, yeah, 16th is where all the action is.
All sort of like, you know, you got your smoothies and you're eating quinoa on 16th. Like that wasn't the case when I was a kid. So maybe I just don't recognize it anymore. But
oh, you mean they didn't have juice bars?
No, man.
Up and down 16th Street?
It was rice and beans, bro. It was the Mission District has changed in my lifetime. I don't recognize it anymore, but no, I'll give it. It's a cool place.
I did have a burrito last night. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Like, I grew up in the East Bay. I'm from the Bay Area. God love it. But rice and beans in a burrito, I think there's a better way to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Mission style. I don't mean to open up the can of worms here.
Oh my goodness. Blasphemy. You might want to check yourself. Forget about Steve Kerr. We got breaking news right here. Like, what the hell is that you're trying to tell me right now?
Well, it's kind of like what we've been talking about the Warriors. You know, you just sometimes need to get back to the origin, to the basics. And to me, that starts at the border. Like, if you're going to get the best Mexican food, you got to get close to Mexico. That's just how I live.
So this is no disrespect.
Like, there's great Mexican food in the city. Don't get me wrong, but the best of the best, you got to head down south, my man.
See, I can't. Maybe because I've been so bastardized, I'm an American, that I go to Mexico. I'm like, dude, where's the guacamole and the sour cream? And give me like a little hot. It's so authentic. I'm like, I don't recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
My man, don't ever disrespect the Mission District late night burrito.
I had one last night. I'm not disrespecting. I'm just saying.
In the tin foil. Exactly. It's a good, like, you know, 2.5 pounds,
the sauce,
man.
Oozing out of the.
It's like a little baby.
There's not
in
enough
hands.
Lard in the.
It's like a child.
Tortilla for me. We need more fat.
We need more.
I just
to be honest with you, I haven't had one of those things in like 15 years.
Yeah, you look like it. Just ousted myself, be down at the Dolphin Club off his bike in just a minute. That's the other part of it, too. You're a fake biker. You're a fake cyclist.
Totally. And cyclists, you need to go. Like, cyclists, you guys need to seriously get a life, man. Like, adhere to the rules in the road, man. I will never join that fraternity/sorority.
No, but you do have a highlighter for a helmet. It'll be hard to miss you rolling down the street.
Can I tell you why? Because I got to go through Chinatown, and I got to go through North Beach, you know, to get to where it is that I'm going. And let me tell you, it's pretty treacherous out there. Especially now we got the parade going on. It's the Lunar Parade that concludes today, by the way. See, the grandstands are out. Mm-hmm.
That was a full moon last night, right?
Man, from some beautiful.
It was real nice. Yeah. I was down in the South Bay. It was clear, stargazing. I do love astronomy, too, not going to lie. But what we're talking about here, of course, is the Golden State Warriors, who are fresh off of another victory last night against the Charlotte Hornets in a throwback fashion, 97-84 was the last time you saw a score like that. But let's get out to San Ramon. Talk to Ray, wants to get in on this Warriors talk. Ray, my man, kick us off for the final hour. What's up, man? What's going on?
How you guys doing, man? Good morning, I really appreciate the enthusiasm. You know, I feel like there's something brewing right now. The strength in numbers is in full effect right now. People are getting healthy at the right time. We're gelling. You know, you guys are talking about keys to success on a major run. You know, obviously, you know, elite defense. You know, take care of the ball. I feel like Kerr obviously likes putting the ball in Pod's hands. You guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like if we just, you know, keep doing what we do and we have those elite wing defenders that can play, you know, lockdown defense, which I know we can, you know, we can go on a major run. The three teams that I kind of worry about in the West that might take us to seven games is probably like OKC and, maybe Dallas, because they're kind of new and improved. But that's the only two teams I kind of worry about in the West. But yeah, tell me what you guys think.
The only team you worried about is OKC. That's interesting. I feel like OKC would be the matchup in the first round that a lot of people would want due to inexperience.
They're inexperienced, and you're right. But you know who scares me that I still don't think gets enough recognition is that SGA. It might be the most fluid, smoothest player the NBA's seen in a long, long time. And the other guy that you don't talk enough about is the kid from right up the road in Santa Clara, not named Pajemski, named Jalen Williams.
Well, they got two of them. You're talking about the one from...
From Santa Clara is a budding star, I think the dude's arrived. Like, he is a good basketball player. And then you throw Chet Holmgren into the mix and Lu Dort. They all defend. Josh Giddey. Like, they're deep. The only thing that they're much like that of the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, you got Chet Holmgren, but he doesn't necessarily like to mix it up. But they're challenged vertically. They don't do well in rebounding the basketball on either end. So that's a clear advantage, Golden State Warriors. Again, OKC, just like Minnesota, just like Dallas and Denver, and you pick one of 8-9 teams, none of which, yeah, I mean, who knows, on a 7-game series, but no, none of them should scare anybody in Dub Nation. Including OKC.
OKC shoots the hell out of the basketball.
That's, no doubt.
I mean,
no
they doubt. Are. They got five guys that can make threes on the floor seemingly at any time. And I don't know if they still have this stat, but it was like 40 games through the season. Like, they had seven dudes shooting 40% or more from three-point range. Like, in fact, they're the only team that shot it better from three than the Warriors over the last 15 games.
And high volume, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
They chuck.
That's a concern. But the Golden State Warriors, that's one of the few teams that they can say they're... You know, they're actually bigger than. I mean, they can. The one thing OKC cannot, there's a lot of one and done possessions, and so the Golden State Warriors have done a good job of rebounding the ball on both ends, and that's going to work at a clear advantage against Oklahoma City. Should that series ever, you know, come about?
Well, I think that SGA is the difference maker for them. Like, you're talking about being able to close games, and he is one of the best, along with, of course, Steph Curry, who would be, I guess, the front runner for what is it, like the Jerry West Award, the clutch player. Anyways, I think that OKC is a team that I wouldn't mind facing just because a lot of those guys, that'll be their first time in the playoffs. And I just feel like in comparison to the rest of the teams at the top, again, it's not to say that OKC is a bad team. Like, they're very good. And the Warriors have played them tough. They beat them on the road earlier in the year. They should have beat them at home, what, twice? And they've blown multiple double-digit leads to them. That's the team that I could see the Warriors being able to get over the hump against in the first round. The team that I feel like people aren't really talking about them much, and I think just they've been status quo at the top of the West this whole year, is Minnesota. That's the team I know that people think about Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and they associate them with softness, but that's not a team that I want to see because, unlike the Oklahoma City Thunder, they defend, and they're long, and they're large, and those have been teams in recent memory that have given the Warriors trouble. The Clippers, I kind of think that they're going to run into the same problem they have the last few years, which is the only thing that's been stopping them is health.
Yeah.
I mean, they just tend to break down. So to me, Denver and Minnesota are the two teams that I wouldn't want to see in the first round.
Yeah, Minnesota for some reason doesn't scare me. I know they play good defense, but do you really entrust Carl? You know what they are? They're sort of weird and immature when it comes to closing games. And when you get to the playoffs and things are accentuated, do you really trust Carl Anthony Towns making the right play? Rudy Gobert? Even
no,
you know,
but I trust Mike Conley.
Conley is the one guy.
And I trust Anthony Edwards.
Well, Anthony Edwards, he still gets a little wide-eyed and sort of, you know, he gets a little out of control. I'm talking about fourth quarter decision-making.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot to be said about the experience that the Warriors have. And what to me, the one team, it's not Minnesota, it's not OKC, it's not Dallas, who has won seven in a row. The one team that the Golden State Warriors should be concerned about is the one they're going to see tomorrow. And that's the Denver Nuggets. That's the team that I think, when all said and done with, they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals, and I think it's going to go through them. And do the Warriors have enough? And we'll find out coming up on Sunday to match up with that basketball team.
Interesting take from Enter the Draymond of the YouTube chat. Shout out First NorCal Credit Union. I'm worried about the reunion of Gobert and Dre in a long series. That might be the test to see if Draymond Green's truly turned the corner as far as his attitude and antics on the court. It might be a seven-game series against Rudy Gobert. I don't know. Like, and this is, so you brought up the point about like Trayce Jackson-Davis before the break, and this is something I do want to dig into. To me, someone like TJD in a playoff series, I don't know how much he can really help the Warriors. But what he can do to me, most importantly in the regular season, and really what I've been asking and hoping that a center or a five for the Golden State Warriors can do, is to just take some pressure off of Draymond when he doesn't have to play one of these bigger guys. Mm. Like, Draymond is the best option against a Gobert or a Cat or a Jokic, which you'll see tomorrow, or Holmgren for OKC, Zubats for Clip. Like, he's going to be playing against larger players in the playoffs. Everyone knows this. But how can you keep him fresh? Like, last night, in fact, the last two games, I loved the way that Draymond played. He was efficient, and he didn't play that many minutes. He played like 21 or 22 minutes each of the last two games. That is the type of workload that I want to see for Draymond Green against the teams that the Warriors should beat. Because against Denver, now, even though it's the third game in four nights, he's well-rested and ready to go against the best player in the world, in my estimation.
Not to mention, you have to exert so much energy when you're 6'6", and trying matching up with guys like that of Anthony Davis, where you're giving away 3, 4, 5 inches sometimes. And he does such a good job of it, but it takes its toll, especially when you get into your mid-30s. Trayce Jackson-Davis helps on so many different levels because you're always, the Warriors are always vertically challenged. Just by him being on the floor, he now becomes another guy who's at 6'9", that can be a big body, that can check a lot of these guys that I just mentioned. The thing about,
can check Jokic?
No, I think Draymond Green is better suited to do that.
Oh, sure.
But I'm much more inclined to give Trayce Jackson-Davis and his five fouls a run at Jokic as opposed to that of Dario Saric. Against Jokic is just, Jokic does what he pleases. And his eyes just light up when he realizes that he's got an ISO with Dario Saric.
Yeah, it's Serbian on Serbian crime.
It is, he will back him down and just use him, or he'll go to any spot he wants to on the floor. I'm sorry, but Saric is becoming, you know, to me, he's becoming such a glaring liability defensively. And I know he can shoot it from time to time, but this is why I think TJD needs to play. And furthermore, it becomes, once again, getting back to Steve Kerr and the fact that it takes him a while to warm to what is taking place in front of his very eyes, and that is embracing some of these young players that are more impactful than the Dario Saric's of the world. But one would tell you, and this came up on the text line, well, Dan, you know, it's, he spaces the floor and he can shoot, and Trayce Jackson-Davis cannot. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But there's two ways to carve this pig, man. This idea that, again, I gave you the Andy Reid comparison, that Andy Reid learned as a coach who was successful in the NFL for many years, especially in Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City and learns to do it a different way. And now he's extended his career and he's a legendary Hall of Fame coach. multiple Super Bowl wins. You have to change, and with Steve Kerr, the idea that this is how we play basketball, it's the Warrior way. When you have Trayce Jackson-Davis, you now become pick and roll. But the pick and roll is... The pick and roll, Ev, is still the most effective basketball play since Naismith created this game over a century ago. I'll go out right now. I'll go down to the Panhandle in San Francisco. I'll go down to Moscone. I'll go pick and roll with anybody, and I will beat half the teams out there that are younger than me. Pick and roll still becomes, if you don't know what to do, the most indefensible and effective play in basketball. It's a reason why Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid are effective. Watch what it is if Jamal Murray's healthy, what Jamal Murray and Jokic will do to the Golden State Warriors. If it's done well, you know, Karl Malone and John Stockton, it's a real thing. And the idea that the only way we can score is you got to have a shooter like that, Saric. And when you see what it is that Klay Thompson did with Trayce Jackson-Davis in a pick and roll against Utah, and Steph coming in and working pick and roll with Trayce Jackson-Davis. The idea that there's multiple ways to get to the rim and use him as an offensive scorer, not to mention everything that he provides you with his athleticism and that defensive rotation. Sorry, I do this every show. That game against the Boston Celtics, now 3 months ago, where he came out of nowhere, and there's this young body at 6'9 racing across the floor to block on rotation that dunk of Jaylen Brown is something as a Warrior fan I hadn't seen in, I don't know. I don't think Andrew Bogut could do that back in his heyday. That's something worth writing, man. I don't know why last night you're playing the Charlotte Hornets and he gets run in the fourth quarter. Where the hell was he for the first three quarters? I know I sound like a fan going after Steve Kerr, and God bless he got the 2-year extension. Well-deserved. But it still does not excuse you from not being able to recognize young players, and now most notably, I'm all about Trayce Jackson-Davis replacing Dario Saric in the rotation. Your thoughts?
Oh, well, he should replace Saric. I think the conversation's about should he replace Looney. But if Steve Kerr is Gordon Liu and enter the 36 chambers, he's going through all of these different chambers that he's got to knock down, and it has to do with, you know, bringing the young guys along. And TJD is your 36th chamber, Dan. Like, that is the final test for Steve Kerr to see whether or not he's going to, you know, become some sort of, I don't know, martial artist.
Not the latest, it's just the most recent for me.
I know. Well, look, and after this, let's say, like, all right, so TJD, let's say he gets 20 minutes a game for the next 20 games of the season. What is the next one going
to
be? Moody?
Jerome Powell needs to get a little more run at the end of games, because I think he can do a good job shooting it and stretching the floor.
Now, also, sidebar about your boy Naismith. The first game of basketball, I don't know why I was reading about this, was an absolute abomination. The first game of basketball was basically rugby because there were no rules. He didn't have a rule. Like, they strung up a peach basket, and by the end of the game, the kids in Springfield, Massachusetts, not Springfield, Illinois, where I think the Hall of Fame actually is, Springfield, Western Massachusetts.
And Naismith was a Canadian, right?
Yes, he's a Canadian, and he created the game like in his 30s. And the first game that he had was for his students. It was like he's a PE teacher, essentially. And he just threw the ball out there, said, go try and put the ball in the basket. These kids were swinging at each other, punching each other, tackling each other. They were bruised and beaten and battered by the time the first game of basketball ended. And he was disgusted with himself because he basically just threw these kids to the wolves.
Well, and then it's not like the peach basket had a hole in it. Like, if you went in the peach basket,
yeah,
you had to
go get it out
and pull it out. Yeah, so it's evolved. Although, you know, one could say that, you know, the Detroit Pistons many years later were still, you know, throwing blows, and so were the New York Knicks back.
Yeah, the bad
day.
Boy Pistons were a fan of the first ever game of basketball. But back to TJD, as I digress, and I appreciate you letting me do so. The thing about Trayce Jackson-Davis that I want to see, which might strike counter to what I'm feeling on Sunday, I actually don't think that TJD is going to play more than Looney against Denver. And the reason being, you're right, TJD brings a different dynamic to the five position. He's more athletic. He can play above the rim. He can alter shots. He can play in pick and roll. But that's not really what stops Jokic. Like, Jokic doesn't play above the rim. He doesn't play fast. And I know that a lot of people might say, well, E, you know, you got to speed him up. You got to get him up and down. I don't think that's the way that the Warriors approach him. I think that Looney is a bigger body, and his six fouls are going to be more valuable on Sunday against Jokic. That's my point there. But I do think that in general, Trayce Jackson-Davis against the majority of teams, the rest of the regular season, postseason, we'll find out. But the rest of the regular season, Trayce Jackson-Davis should be getting more minutes than Kevon Looney as the backup five. Leave Sarge out of it. I think that Kerr uses him more as the four now to space the floor, and that's really all that he's good for. But Looney, and this is something that I've felt for some time, like Trayce Jackson-Davis played 15 minutes the last two games. Looney played 9 and then 10 against the Lakers and the Hornets. I think the other reason that TJD needs to play more than Looney is because I don't think Looney's going to be on the team next year.
But Sarge is still playing more than both of those two.
Yeah, but he plays a different... Like, he's not at the center as much anymore. At least, I don't think he's all that great to begin with. But the one thing that he does do, which the text line is correct, is space the floor for someone like Kuminga to play at the three.
There's no doubt. I guess the issue I have is that sometimes we have a tendency just to overthink it, or just to simply move pieces in accordingly. Like, he spaces the floor, and so that's what you need to do in order to free up Kuminga. End of story. Listen, it doesn't make a lot of sense if I was to tell you in the beginning of the year that Pajemski should start in front of Klay Thompson. One could easily push back, well, no, that's not going to happen because he's smaller. You don't space the floor because Klay becomes a shooting threat, and Pajemski, it just doesn't work. The reason why it works with Pajemski is all those things that we didn't mention that you can't necessarily see, and that is the fact that he's young, that he's taking charges, that he's going to beat everybody up the floor, that just that exuberance is infectious, and that's how you win, with that balance of... talked about this time and time again, the veteran leadership of that, of Steph and company, and then these youngsters with this high motor. And that's applicable to a certain degree, I think, when it comes to Trayce Jackson-Davis. Yeah, you could sit here all day and throw at me, this doesn't make sense, you need to play Kevon Looney here, and Dario Saric is going to space the floor. And to me, I would just counter with a simple... he's a better damn player from what I see, and he's a better athlete, and it makes you a better basketball team. Not only on the defensive end, but he's a guy who can fill lanes on a break. He's so young, and I know he sort of lumbers when he runs, but you know, the guy, he can get up and down the floor, and that is, you know, that the eye test isn't lying to me. I can see the athleticism, and maybe all the other stuff doesn't... you know, he doesn't check all those other boxes, but I still think at the end of the day, you win more than you lose with players like that.
I also think he's someone that's a floor player, meaning you know exactly what you're going to get from him because he's played so much basketball already in his life. Like, he turned 24. We were talking about this during a break. He's 3 years older than Jonathan Kuminga. He's played 4 years in Indiana. Like, this guy is more pro-ready than Kuminga was, but maybe even Pajemski was at the beginning. Like, he's... well, maybe not Pods, but like, TJD knows how to play. That's the other thing, too, is I feel like you know what you're going to get on a given night. And I'm not advocating for 20 minutes for Trayce Jackson-Davis, but I just feel like in the minutes that have been prioritized for Kevon Looney, those minutes on most nights going forward outside of, say, Denver, should be going to Trayce Jackson-Davis. That's kind of how I feel. It's as much about what TJD gives you as it is about the regression that we've seen from Looney, and I think his future in Golden State, which based on a partially guaranteed contract next season, isn't really making me feel good about his future. Kerr loves him, don't get me wrong, but he's only making $3 million of the $8 next year. I think that's something the Warriors could eat. So, 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to get to Telmo in San Francisco on the other side as we wrap this thing up here on Warriors This Week. One last segment to get your calls, to get your texts on the Comcast Business Text Line, to get your messages on Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union in. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. We'll be back after our final break. Up next here on 95.7 The Game on Warriors This Week. We're back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, a lot to clean up here. As always on the Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe. Look, I know Saric isn't Serbian. It was for the bit. He's Croatian. Jokic is Serbian, though. That's a fact. Also, like you were talking about, well, but your theme song, speaking of international stories, your theme song at a club in Dubai. Like, Dan DeVoe is Mr. Worldwide. I don't think that people understand just how tapped in this man is on not just on domestic soil, but also around the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up, what they call that big ball of a champagne.
Yeah, if anybody knows what a 5-foot bottle of champagne looks like, or what's it? What is it?
Magnum. It's called. That's what I'm thinking of.
Magnum?
Yeah, isn't that what they call them? The Magnum, I believe. The
Magnum
really,
bottles? Yeah, oh, yeah, Ken yeah. knows. See, yeah, he's been to cooler clubs than I have.
So, yeah, so the in Dubai, where there's obviously a lot of money, right? A lot of oil money. I mean, it is, especially over the last 10 years. I mean, we're talking Saudi money, right? And so there was this club where every time somebody would order a Magnum of champagne, which went for $5,000, they would play the Rocky theme music. And so the waitresses would run through the restaurant slash bar with this Magnum of champagne on sort of a stretcher, sort of over their shoulders, and they would run to the table. And just to let you know the sort of money that was being thrown around this bar in Dubai,
okay.
The Rocky theme music was going off, seriously, like every 2 minutes. It was Sylvester Stallone. So they've got, you know, money to burn out there. That's the way they roll out in Dubai.
Yes, they do. How we roll here in the Bay on Warriors This Week. Well, that's always still up in the air. I feel like it fluctuates every single week, whether we feel like high rollers, because the Warriors, of course, playing a lot better as of late. Sometimes we're down to the dumps. We're always trying to keep the glass half full, but sometimes it feels like it's half empty. Right now, the glass for the Warriors, I know it's always works. Like, they're the 10 seed. They're 3 games back of the 7 seed. But they won 10 of 12, which hasn't happened since the 2022 season. They have certainly turned the corner. Steve Kerr just got a contract extension. Joe Lacob said there's no going back. Everything seems to be aligned outside of, I guess, Klay Thompson and his contract, though I think that's going to correct itself in the near future this offseason. And now it's all about how far the Warriors can go. I think that's where people's minds are kind of moving towards. And tomorrow night is a great test against the Denver Nuggets, because they have not beaten them so far this season. Should have beat them the last time they faced them, but they did not. And now it's about how, okay, can you grab one from the defending champs? Can you get 3 in a row heading into the 4-game road trip? Can you position yourself to potentially jump the Lakers, who also play tomorrow? And that's kind of where we're at. Like, this, everything is in front of the Golden State Warriors, and that's what I love about doing the show with you, Dan. It's, we're talking about what's ahead as opposed to reflecting on all the things that have led to this point primarily. Because again, like, this season has been such a roller coaster of, it felt like a lot of down, but now they're finally on top. And this is from the 510. We're talking about Trayce Jackson-Davis, for example, before the break. A few weeks ago, I recommended Pods, Wiggs, Green, TJD, and Curry's the Warriors starting 5. This lineup brings more athleticism, allows TJD to be a rim runner, can also protect the rim, which has been an issue for the Warriors in the West. And it's not so much about Trayce Jackson-Davis, Dan, but when you look at this team outside of Chris Paul, and I guess GP2's been hurt as well, this is a roster that I do feel confident in unlocking even another level of play. Like, I don't think that this is the best that the Warriors can be. And that, to me, also, I think is something to feel a glass half full about.
Yeah, we've talked about that the Golden State Warriors, this is the position you want to be in. This is where, well, ideally you'd want to be one of the top three or four seeds in the Western Conference. But typically for any basketball team, you know, for those of you that go to the Bay Meadows or bet on the ponies, or bet on the dogs, you want to be, as you hit the stretch run, that danger on the outside. Like, you want to be perfectly positioned when it gets to January in the NFL, and when it comes to the NBA, right about now, you want to be coming together, because it does not matter what it is that you've done up to this point. Sacramento and some of these other teams are perfect case in point that are falling back to the Golden State Warriors, although the Kings have, you know, won a couple of games of late, not to pick on Sack of Tomatoes, but, you know, there's, you know, in the East, you see this from, you know, some of these other teams. It's about, forget about all the headlines and all that we've talked about up to this point. Now, as we near the stretch, who's coming?
Yeah.
Who's kicking? Who's this year's Miami Heat? Who's the Los Angeles Lakers coming out of the West this year? That's where the focus needs to be, and I think that the Golden State Warriors are perfectly primed.
888-957-9570 is the number from the 267 of the Comcast Business Text Line. Draymond's going to stifle Jokic, and the Dubs will blow the Nuggets off the Chase Center court. I certainly hope it happens. I'm a little bit wait and see, though. I think they're kind of lying in the weeds right now. I think the Warriors can and should, well, not should, but I think they definitely can win tomorrow. I do want to dig into that in just a moment. Let's clean up the calls again at 888-957-9570. Telmo's been hanging on patiently, is out in San Francisco. Telmo, what's going on? You're on Warriors This Week. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, man. What do you got?
So a couple real quick things. In terms of the champagne bottle, the Magnum is 1.5 liter, but the big boy of them all is a 15-liter bottle called the Nebuchadnezzar, and that's the equivalent of 20 regular champagne bottles. And in terms of the burritos, the middle ground for you guys is a place called El Chorrito in Salinas. They make the tortillas fresh in-house. The burritos are a little bit smaller. They're like $5 each, and they're a bunch of meat with just the slightest amount of beans and rice in it, and it's perfect. But back to basketball.
Wait, Telmo, hold on. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, better be careful, Telmo.
El Chorrito, that's not a chain, is it?
There's a couple of them. They just opened a second one in Monterey recently. It's called El Charrito.
Oh, Charrito. Yeah, I think I've had it.
C-H-A-R-R. Oh, it's amazing. If you're ever driving, like, on the 101 past Salinas, it's worth a detour, because they make their own tortillas in-house. They have a bunch of meats. They're literally incredible.
You're right. I've been to this place. You are spot on. That is a bomb-ass burrito spot.
So yeah. So listen, Telmo,
I learned from,
because you just
Trey did Jackson Davis.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
hold on. Hold on, Telmo. Just simply because you passed the burrito test with a good stick with Chorrito, you may continue. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. But real quick, I learned from a friend that you buy like 10 or 12 of them, you eat two, and you throw the others in the freezer. They heat up really well. Oh. Anyways, I digress. Trace Jackson Davis, what I really like about his game and what he brings to the Warriors is we always talk about the Warriors lacking size, and it's not necessarily size, because they're a great rebounding team. They get rebounds. It's how do they play in the interior, and how do they create and force defenses to not just play the perimeter or crowd Stephen Curry or double team him. And what we saw the other day against the Lakers was that when they were in, even against Charlotte with Clay, figured it out a little bit, is when they're coming out to the perimeter, when Steph or Clay have the ball and they're coming to them with two players or double teaming, is that Trace Jackson Davis, unlike Looney and Saric, is he has the instinct to go to the basket, and he's aggressive going to the basket, and he can get in there and get you points, to where Looney is going to get the ball. He's a little tentative because he's not as athletic. He has heavy feet. He's more likely to kick the ball back out. as to where TJD, and I think it's very important for the Warriors to have that, and Kuminga gives you that athleticism, driving to the hole, but just being near the basket, under the basket, and being aggressive getting the ball up there. Trayce Jackson-Davis gives you a lot of options on offense, on versatility of how defenses play against you, to have somebody else that can create buckets and get you points, as to where, like in the past, we've seen that Warriors can be a little bit limited on that if Steph's off or Clay's off or some of the, if it's an off shooting night, it gives you another option to get points in paint.
Hell yeah, Telmo, call of the day. Seriously.
Which part? Learned about the Nebuchadnezzar for the first time in my life outside of Star Trek.
Well, freezing the burritos is why it was the call of the day. No.
Nebuchadnezzar.
TJD, yeah. He's right on, Telmo. Hell yes. He's the only guy that he's not flaring out to the three-point line. He's linear. He's going to the hoop. And when you double-team or if you guess wrong on that pick and roll, he's going to make you pay. The issue with the Warriors is that they have played basketball so differently for so long because they haven't had anybody who's equipped to properly execute the pick and roll like that of a Trayce Jackson-Davis, that when you think of pick and roll, typically with the Golden State Warriors and the Splash Brothers, that the pick and roll is to set the screen so that you're freeing either Clay or Steph for a jump shot or for a three-pointer. Nobody's thinking about the guy rolling to the hoop. Like, the fundamentally, we're not... You're not trained to think, oh, I got a diver. I got somebody going to the rim. Like, there's another option. This team is so uber-focused on shooting and addressing the three-point line that now you have another option in what, again, is the most effective and oldest play in basketball that I want to see it utilized so much. I hate when people say, what I want to say. Forget about me. Just what I think could be utilized to help balance all that out is a pick and roll and using the diver, and more importantly and more specifically, Trayce Jackson-Davis giving you another option to score the basketball. And he's presenting himself when he gets those limited opportunities. And I think he and Chris Paul working that, although Chris Paul isn't as much of a threat to shoot it, but like that is something that the Golden State Warriors don't use to their advantage because they're so accustomed to scoring the basketball one way, and that is they are perimeter-centric, and they're so almost to a fault reliant on shooting it from three-point territory.
Well, I think they've been the last year and plus. I don't think they always were that way. Like, one of the staples of the Warriors during their heyday, and they're not as good as they used to be, obviously, was the fact that they got points in the paint. They got easy baskets. Now, all of that was created by the perimeter-centric focus that you're talking about, but they used to have rollers, like Bogut, JaVale McGee, guys that were lob threats. That's an added dynamic to this offense that I think Trayce Jackson-Davis brings, and that's really, for the bench, to me, it's important because, again, the goal of the bench is not always to increase the lead. It's just to keep it. Like, your starters are the ones that either get you the lead or help you fall behind, but like the bench is complimentary. If Trayce Jackson-Davis, like against the Lakers, can go on a personal 13-0 run or can steal you a few possessions, those are valuable. So from that perspective, I think you're correct. You know, to me, Trayce Jackson-Davis is someone that I think with Curry, Paul, and then apparently Klay Thompson, like anybody who's got gravity or that is a threat to shoot, namely Steph and Klay, he's a perfect pick-and-roll partner for, because you have to respect the jump shot. Even if Clay's only shooting, I think, 37% from three this season, and he's not as efficient as he used to be, you still have to respect his jump shot. And so when TJD rolls to the rim, then at the very least, you can get him the ball. That forces rotations. You can kick it out. You can swing the ball. Or you can finish at the rim, and he can finish higher than, say, Looney or Šarić. So, you know, I do think it's valuable in those 10 to 15-minute spurts because it also takes some pressure off of Draymond Green. So I think it's beneficial not just for the offense. I do wonder defensively how TJD matches up with kind of the bigger boys in the Western Conference. I don't know if he does well, and that's why I think that Looney tomorrow is gonna get the second crack behind Dre. But at the same time, it's like Maybe you could try and put a little bit of pressure on Jokic with someone like Trayce Jackson-Davis. You can try and put pressure on opposing defenses if they go small to force them to rotate, and that will also open up threes around the outside. So, you know, I think there's certainly a spot for him. I also don't think it's, like, his role is growing. It's not as if he's just not playing at all right now and the Warriors are just not utilizing him whatsoever. Like, he's showing us that he can be valuable.
You know, you talked about his age, and I don't think that was by accident. I think actually it was done by design by Dunleavy as well as the rest of the Golden State Warriors, in that after going after Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, basically teenagers. Now, Podziemski's young, but Podziemski, one could argue, is an old soul. Like, the guy looks, and just his basketball IQ, he's young in number only. That guy, as far as being a smart head, he leads, he's a rookie, and he leads the NBA in charges.
He drew like three charges last night, didn't he?
He's a smart basketball player. And so where I'm going with that is I think that after drafting teenagers the last couple of years where you're having to wait for them to mature, not only as basketball players, but as human beings, right? Like, and we talk about the matching timelines, that I think it was done by purpose that the Warriors got somebody like that at Podziemski and purposely went after a four-year basketball player like that of Trayce Jackson-Davis. That was more plug-and-play. And not only that, but played at Indiana under a guy in Mike Woodson, who also not only played in the NBA, but coached in the NBA and was the perfect tutor to bring along somebody like that at TJD.
Well, and I think that all falls into what we saw last night or heard about before the game last night, which was Kerr's extension. To me, the drafting of players like Podziemski and TJD, players that know how to play and that you can plug in immediately, as opposed to projects like Kuminga and Moody, along with Wiseman, that all factors into what has shifted in the front office in my mind in the last, I would say, year, which is we got to maximize now. We have to win now, or do everything we can to win now. Before the championship, that wasn't the case. In 2020 and 2021, those were players that were projected to help the Warriors in 4 or 5 years or in 3 years, not immediately. Podziemski and TJD can help you now because Steph Curry is still playing at a high level. Draymond Green is still playing at a high level. Everything that is geared for Golden State is towards, again, these next three seasons or this season and the next two. It's what it's all about, and quite frankly, it's what it should have always been about as long as you have Steph on your roster and he's still performing at a Hall of Fame level. So I think you're right. I think that there's been a shift in the approach, and players like Podziemski and TJD, like, I didn't think Pods would be as far as along as he is right now, but you're right. The characteristics of those two players are drastically different from the characteristics of Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman, even though someone like Kuminga has now come along and blossomed into a great addition to this team.
And you mentioned Steve Kerr. Maybe we end things with sort of the, it's not necessarily breaking news, but the news of the day. That, of course, is Steve Kerr re-upping for 2 more years. It kicks in next year. He becomes the highest paid coach at $17.5 per, a $35 million deal. Is that there is now a line in the sand. Like, we now have a structure in place that it's 2 years. It's not the last dance, but you can clearly see that there is now officially a finish line. For me, it is sort of emblematic of the end of this run. Like, we just got a 2-year window. Draymond, whose deal will be up in 2 years, he has an option on that last year, but contractually he's up in 2 years. Steph is up in 2 years. Klay, if he comes back, has to be relegated, which is why I think him going to the bench was so significant. You can bring him back, but now he's under the understanding that, listen, you're going to come back, but you're going to be more of a role player as a bench player. And as a bench player, we can't pay you $30 million or even $25 million. You got to come in at somewhere between 18 to 20. 20, and then if he's to say, well, no, I'm Klay Thompson, well, look at your role. And it's not your projected role, but the role that you've been playing over the last couple of months of the season. That aside, that there is now a template in place for the Golden State Warriors. And I think you summarized it perfectly, Ev, that you got three shots, right? It's like being at the Sonoma County Fair. You know, you got three opportunities to win that big overstuffed doll for your girlfriend.
With
right?
less wine.
Yeah. There you go, man. It's three opportunities, three shots at a title with this dynastic run. And then when it's over, I think Steve Kerr walks off to the sunset. I don't know what happens to Draymond. Steph is going to continue to play basketball. But this run as we know it comes to an end after two more years.
Let's get out to Foster City, bring on our final caller of the morning, our guy Pat. Pat, how are you? You're on Warriors This Week. What's up?
Good. Good. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you were touching on the draft choices and stuff, and you know, I'm a huge Warrior fan, been season ticket holder for like 30 years, going way, way back. But, you know, they've definitely got better and better this year. But I think, you know, Dunleavy really deserves probably more credit than he's getting because, you know, think about the two draft choices we got this year and what they're doing as rookies. And you think about the draft choices we've had over the prior 3 years. What if we had one or two guys like these guys 3 years ago and 2 years ago and 1 year ago, where we'd be now? Instead of, you know, now where Moody's coming along after 3 years, but he's still not where Pazinski is this year, in my estimation. And, you know, Kuminga's coming along, but it's taken 3 years, you know. We'd be that much better, I think. So I think our draft choices have not been that great, and I think Dunleavy gets a lot of credit, I think, for what he's done with these draft picks. They've been phenomenal to be contributing like this in the rookie year. Yeah, I think it's just great. So, but I'm high in the Warriors. I think they're going to finish strong, and I didn't feel that way 6 weeks ago. I really was kind of it's just not going to work out. But I think Wiggins is playing better. Looney's playing a little bit better. And everyone else has picked it up. Clay is kind of where he was before, up and down or whatever. But I think overall the team is in really good shape. So,
thanks, Pat. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I don't think any of us were here 6 weeks ago. I mean, we were talking about who you move off of, how you try and pivot, and now the head coach has got a new deal. I do think Klay Thompson's deal is coming soon. Or I should say, Steve Kerr's two-year extension is an indication that Klay Thompson will be a Golden State Warrior beyond this season. I think so.
Mm. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
Like, I can see Steph, Draymond, and Steve Kerr going forward. If Klay becomes difficult, because he has to realize that, you know, we have to be cost-effective here. And it's not, he doesn't need the money, but it just becomes a sense of pride. And it just becomes, this is all on Clay's table. How much pride can he swallow? He's already swallowed some and sitting down on the bench and not being in the starting rotation. Now it's a matter of taking that haircut, as they like to say. Like how much can you reduce that salary, which currently sits at 43 mil, becomes the big question for him, I think.
It is a big question. I just feel like they'll be able to come to terms on something that's probably along the lines of what Kerr got. Now, not the total, but the fact that it would be 2 years, so you align yourself with the other parts of the core, and then you're compensated for probably your past more than your future, and it might be a little inflated. But another thing that's flown under the radar too, Dan, is they've gone 11-4 or 10-2 without Chris Paul. I don't think Chris Paul is going to be on the team next year.
No.
So if you're looking for a reason to feel like you could bring Klay back, you could have this team moving forward, maybe you make an addition here, you add a piece there, that this team has staying power without Chris Paul on it, I do think that allows Klay Thompson to take a step back financially, but 2 years and $50 million, or that's roughly what he was offered this offseason, I think that offer is still going to be on the table, and I think he'd be inclined to take it.
You know, we were talking about, the caller was talking about the NBA draft. If I give you my G League rant, like if I'm a GM, don't go in the G League. First of all, it's unproven. Jonathan Kuminga might be the exception, but he's been a work in progress.
Jordan Poole?
Was G League?
At some point, yeah. Yeah, he went down to the G League.
No, I'm talking... I'm sorry.
Oh, like starting?
No, I'm talking not the G League. Forget about the G League. I'm talking about...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Coming out of the draft.
Yeah, like go to college.
Yeah. Like Jalen Green. Like who's come out where you could say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, where guys are exclusively getting ready for the NBA draft. The problem is, Ev, is that they're playing in front of like 300 people on a Tuesday night. I want the kid, like Trayce Jackson Davis, shooting free throws in the NCAA tournament in front of 15,000 hostile fans. Those players have yet to prove to me, and Jalen Green, all these high draft picks, that I ain't going in that direction if I'm a GM.
That's true. And look, if the Warriors had drafted pro-ready players, I'm not sure they'd necessarily be further along because, let's say, like you, it looks like you hit on Kuminga. Imagine what Kuminga is going to be in 2 years or 4 years when he's 25. That is, of course, the risk-reward of taking a project early in the first round as opposed to taking someone in the middle to late rounds like Pajemski, like TJD, more pro-ready players. I would say the Warriors have found a nice balance in that approach. You missed on Wiseman. You might have missed on Moody, but you certainly hit on Kuminga. You hit on Pajemski. You hit on Trayce Jackson-Davis. And they got another second-round pick for this upcoming year they might be able to hit on as well. So, look, all this is very interesting as we wind things down here, as always, on the Warriors this week. I'm looking forward to Sunday, Dan. You think they win against Denver?
Yes, I do. I think they win that game. Not only, and unlike the previous games, I think they win that game convincingly.
Interesting. I think they beat Denver. And I think they actually they need to beat Denver. If we're going to take them seriously as a title team or a contention team, they got to beat Denver tomorrow.
Is Jamal Murray going? Do you know? Game time decision?
Well, the thing is, like, they beat Portland and Washington their first two games out of the All-Star break. Like, they haven't been tested whatsoever. So if Murray was out, it might have just been precautionary.
Okay. Or just getting ready for this game.
Exactly. Yeah. Warriors should be ready for this game. Again, that's at 4 o'clock. Interesting hour before the typical 5 o'clock primetime tip. It'll be at 4 o'clock. Warriors live right here at 3 o'clock. And then, of course, our pregame network coverage at 3:30 with Tim Roy. He'll be on the call with Tom Tolbert at 4 o'clock. All right here on 95.7 The Game. As we sign off, big thank you to everyone that called in today, that texted in, chimed in on our YouTube and Twitch chats. That is Dan Devone. Big thank you to our men behind the glass, Ken Luttrell, Mark Grandy, is always holding it down here for 95.7 The Game. My name is Evan Gidding saying so long. We'll talk to you same place, same time next week, Saturday Warriors this week. It's been fun. We'll talk to you next time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.